This is Time Signatures with Jim Irvin, a podcast and radio program presented by the Capital Area Blues Society in Lansing, Michigan. Most any contemporary musical style can trace its roots back to the blues. Time Signatures explores the blues and its musical connections with captivating interviews, lively discussions, and news from the world of the blues.
You know I'm crying, crying, baby, driving up and down these Michigan roads, yeah.
And now, here he is, your host, Jim Irvin.
Well, hello there, everyone, and thank you, Parker. I'm Jim Irvin, and this is Time Signatures. I'm pleased to introduce you all to an absolutely amazing woman of the blues. You know, since the start of this podcast nearly three calendar years ago, I've had the good fortune of interviewing Detroit's Prince of the Blues, Chris Canis, and Detroit's Queen of the Blues, Ms. Thordetta Davis. But today, I'm honored to have some new royalty to talk to. Influenced by the likes of Coco Taylor, Aretha Franklin, Sister Rosetta Tharpe, Sam Cooke, and even her own parents, the result is the development of a style of the blues unto herself in the same great tradition as so many other great Texas blues men and women. Combining intricate patches of jazz, gospel, and a twist of heartfelt soul, this kind of blues is something that takes the listener on an emotional roller coaster ride that they never want to end. She is the first female president of the Houston Blues Society, serving as she blazed the trail, developing some off-the-charts events that we're going to talk about shortly. She is also a founder of the Friends of Blues Montgomery County, and she has amassed some fantastic nominations and awards, including Traditional Blues Female Artist and a nomination for the Coco Taylor Award, Traditional Blues Female. She is the winner of the 2005 International Blues Challenge. She won the Best New Artist Debut at the 2008 Blues Music Awards and won the aforementioned Coco Taylor Award in 2014 and 17. She has also been named Living Blues Magazine's 2015 Female of the Year. Now, look, I know I've missed some of these accolades, ladies and gentlemen, but there's just too doggone much here to list. So I would like to introduce you all once and for all, the people's Queen of the Blues, Houston native, the incomparable Diona Greenleaf. What an honor. Welcome to Time Signatures. How are you?
Fine. How are you today?
I'm doing very well. It's an honor to have you.
Well, thank you so much.
We have got a lot to talk about, Diona. So I just want to go back a little ways here and talk about where you got your start in music and at what age?
Oh, my God. Music was always in our home. So when you say what age, you know, my mother was singing while I was in the womb, and my father, too. So, you know, I guess it just came out like that.
Now, how about your musical influence back in the day? Do you recall having some favorite bands or songs that you just had to hear over and over again?
Well, because my parents were gospel, I heard a lot of gospel, but because they were also friends with a lot of people who weren't gospel, who had started off as gospel, you know, I heard those things too. Joe Tex and my father were hunting buddies. And of course, in addition to his gospel portion, we always heard his secular music, you know, that ain't gonna bump no more with no big fat woman. And okay. I got you. That, and also, of course, Johnny Taylor, who was a frequent visitor at our home.
Oh,
and
cool.
Let's see. And then my father was a vocal coach for young men going into gospel music. So that's the connection. Many of them didn't stay in gospel.
Sure.
For instance, he was the original vocal coach for the Highway QCs.
Wow.
And that group included Taylor Jr., Johnny Taylor, and Sam Cooke. And they also lived in Houston for a summer with my parents. So, I mean, and then there were others. There was a young man who, and I didn't know this until I was an adult, and he had to tell me, who came to study under my father, and he was trying to make a decision that was going to develop the rest of his life, whether or not he was going to continue in blues, or would he be drawn to gospel? Because he used to play my father's music when he was a DJ at a radio station called WDIA.
Oh my goodness.
And in Memphis, Tennessee. And that young man's name was Riley King, better known as the one and only B.B. King. But my parents never told me about it. It took B.B. King to tell me.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you. And then not only that, it was a jaw-drop moment because he told me in front of other people. You know,
Were your parents still with us when you learned this?
No.
Oh, wow. That would have been a great conversation. Mom, Dad, what are you doing here?
Well, I'd already had so many of those kind of conversations with them because of some of the other people that had come through. For instance, you know, like Johnny Taylor, like, why does he always come late at night when everybody's gone to bed and then we have to get up and fix supper and everything like that? Daddy say, you hush up. He comes here because he know he can find some peace. Ain't nobody going to be here to harry ass him.
Yeah, there
and
you
I
go.
Know he was saying harass, but he's calling harry ass. You know what I mean? So it was, you know, I'm looking back now lately on some things because some people are talking to me about, you know, some other things that they've been jotting down and want to do a book and everything. I actually started off with them talking to me about some of the students who were in my school programs. And they asked me, do you realize you have 5 students who are Grammy Award winners, 5 former students who are Grammy Award winners? I said, well, yeah, I know that they are. And I'm so proud of them, blah, blah, blah. I said, they go, oh, no, but you don't get it. You know what I mean? I said, yeah, I get it. Well, I did those out of my pocketbook free of charge, you know what I mean? Because I want them to know about this rich history that we have in this art form known as the blues. So that's why I say, you know, I'm not in it for the same reasons some of the people in it. I could care less about the, you know, somebody was talking about, well, being famous. That's why I'm letting you see me just like this with my hair like this. You know, this is my hair. I'm sitting up at home in my easy chair because I've been working all day at my little desk. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to try to be on time for this Zoom.
Thank you.
You know, it's, I don't know. I don't even get on Facebook much. I've actually, he's 11 now and he keeps reminding me. My 11-year-old nephew used to handle that for me ever since he was about 8 or 9. But his mother doesn't want, and whom I just got off the phone with too, doesn't want him handling it. I don't want him seeing all that stuff on the internet and Facebook. I said, what are you talking about? He's teaching me. You know what I mean? There's not much I can tell him, you know what I mean, on that. So he's teaching me how to, you know, avoid this thing and avoid that thing and don't click on this, don't click on that. Yeah, if it was up to me, I wouldn't be clicking on any of it. But
understood.
You know, so that's why, that's another reason that so many of the other, I call them unnecessary distractions in the music bother me quite a bit. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because I think they are also things that keep us separated, you know, from the business of doing what we're supposed to be doing, what the universe is that we're supposed to be doing as artists and musicians. And that is being healers of the minds and hearts of the people through the music. Okay.
Yes.
It's going to take artists to heal the deep hurts that have been going on throughout the land. You know what I mean? And so, you know, artists along with the help, of course, of like-minded people who are willing to, you know, put themselves out there on the front lines as well, you know, or
yes,
in the trenches as well.
I don't know if you noticed my shirt, but a good friend of mine who is also a musician designed this Stop Hate shirt. And he says, I'd like to see you wear that around. And he's African-American gentleman, very good friend of mine. I said, yes, I'll absolutely wear that once in a while on my show. So here I am.
And it looks good.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
It looks so good.
Yeah. Diana, I got to flip the page here. So at what point did you realize that your path would absolutely include being a musician?
Oh, I don't know. Sometimes with the difficulty of it, I still don't realize. I still don't. I mean, that is what I do, and that's all I do. But I left my counseling office in 2000 for a, it was 99 or 2000.
Okay.
To take a 1 year break to work on my music, and I've never gone back.
Wow.
That's cool. Yeah. I have a master's in counseling, and I loved what I was doing, but also, because I was counseling a lot of young adults and youth, I was seeing that they were dealing with problems that they should never even have to think of at the time.
Sure.
And it's only gotten worse, not better. And, you know, you're supposed to leave the office and let it stay there. You know what I mean?
Right.
But that wasn't always the case. And then I started researching why there were so many counselors who had, you know, started to have drinking problems. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what another counselor called whining problems. Too many bottles of wine, not wine in, actually, you know, but because they were so empathetic that they couldn't let it stay at the office, they were taking it home, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yep.
So, and that's hard when you, especially when you know that you're not going to be the one, you're not going to save the whole world, and you're not going to, you maybe just trying to save that one or a couple or something like that. And just the difficulty in that, you know,
sure,
is crushing sometimes. Crushing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So with your plans laid out, you took your year off. somewhere along the way, you formed the band Blue Mercy. How did that come together for you?
Well, one of that had actually kind of formed, not the same people, it kind of formed while I was still working as a counselor.
Okay.
Because there was a bad fire in the neighborhood and a family was caught up in it and several of the children were burned. So the students at two of the universities, Texas Southern University mainly, and University of Houston, because I was also doing a joint program with the two of them, wanted to do a block party, an old-fashioned block party to raise money for the family.
Sure.
And, so they were promising the neighborhood, because it was such a diverse neighborhood, that they would be able to come out and hear all forms of music. You know, yes, there was going to be a big gospel and prayer service, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They called it a meditation service. But there was also going to be jazz. There was going to be a jazz band and a blues band and, you know, a second line. There was going to be a rock band and somebody was going to be playing pop and Someone was going to be doing what was this a sacred harp and a sacred steel and sacred also sacred harp and those things. So they my they knew that on when on my lunch hour, which I never got an hour, I would close the door and turn on either the gospel or blues, probably louder than it should in my office. And they'd hear me singing along with it too, you know what I mean? And so they said, Miss G, they called me Miss G. Miss G, we need somebody to sing some of them old blues. So, and I said, well, you better find somebody. They said, no, we want you to do it because you better than the record sometime. You know what I mean? And I said, no. Well, Steve Crane, who was a DJ at KTSU Radio and a buddy of mine, and this is so ironic, his father, this man basically kept me in the dark and teased me for 7 months. I mean, I knew his last name was Crane, Steve Crane, but I never put together that his father and my father, because my dad was already deceased, you know what I mean? But his father and my father were good friends.
Oh
His
my.
father was Crane of the Soul Stirrers, okay?
Wow.
And he was waiting for me to get it. But he said, even when I was in rest mode, you could look at me and see that my mind was just clicking, clicking, clicking. You know what I mean? He said, even if I was in conscious conversation with somebody, he said he could tell that my mind was on a million other things. And it just never came to me until he finally said, he said, I know I look more like my mom than my dad, but I would think that at some point you would get it. He said, your dad and I were good friends. Your dad and my dad were good friends. His dad was still alive at that time. And then everything stopped. I was like, what? You know what I mean? And he goes, I've been waiting for you to get it. You know what I mean? And then he told me. And I said, what? What? Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you bring your dad up here? So that we all have lunch together or something like that. He said, well, he's been saying the same thing to me. But I am going to do that now because he's beating me across the head. He said, but I was waiting for you to get it. You know what I mean? So that's why I say, the path that I'm walking on, I may just be blundering down the path, but it is all those things are coming together to lead me. Who would have thought? You know what I mean? But anyway, he said, yeah, and you need to go on and sing for those kids at that thing. It's only one time. You're gonna be helping the family. You got kids that's gonna be in Shriners Hospital because of burns. And he said, "Do it," and I did. Well, when we did it, a man immediately rushed up and said, "Listen, who's in charge here? Because I want to hire the band for another event." So
Wow.
I said, "Oh, sir, this band is not a regular band. This is just for and one of my former students, we call her Peaches. She said,
Okay.
wait a minute now, hold up, Miss G. You know what I mean? Maybe you make plenty of money, in your position, but we all students, she just went to it. Sir, when is your event? What kind of event is it? Blah 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 blah. How many hours do you want? Now you see, it's a whole lot of us. We don't come cheap. She was
you got a manager.
she was the bomb. She was the bomb, you know. And he said, "Oh no," he said, "but money is not a problem." You know what I mean? And now I want y'all to do some of the same things y'all did here, and
wow,
blah 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 blah. Oh my God, you know. He said, "And I'll take care of all of you." He said, "I'll take care of your fee. I'll take care of your travel." Blah blah blah. I said,
"Wow."
What? You know, I said, "Sir, you may have to get someone else to sing, you know, the lead portions, because I may not be available, because I may be away, you know, on work business and everything like that." She says, "Sir, you just talk to me about it, because I'm the one who keep Miss G's schedule," which she was, you know what I mean? And I said, "Peaches." And she's,
I love it.
Hey, Robert, one of y'all get Miss G a bottle of water. You going over there and sit down. And she handled it.
And the rest is history.
Better, she also worked for a law office too. You know what I mean?
There you go.
Yeah. So.
Well,
but
started.
It was Blues for Mercy. Okay. Initially. Then I was already writing a lot of songs, and once I decided, okay, I will do a band. I'm gonna try it for a little bit. You know what I mean? Because Katie Webster, Teddy Cry Cry Reynolds, and Ed Papa Berry, they were pushing me too. Then Teddy came, because he was there. "Baby, if you do my birthday party for me, you don't never have to worry about doing it again, because you know, old Teddy, I'm going into the hospice, you know, and you won't have to worry about me no more." And, you know, I'm like, Teddy, he said, "I tell you what," he said, "it just do my heart good to see Mr. Lover's daughter there, you know, singing at my birthday party." And Katie Webster was right there too, with them big eyes. You know what I mean? "Baby, you should do it." So I said, okay. And I sang for his birthday party also.
Wow.
You know, and then Teddy, his birthday came up again. He was still in hospice. And he said to me, "Baby, if you do it for me, you won't have to worry about it." But I said, "Teddy, that's what you said the last time." Instant regret. I said, "Oh, Teddy, I didn't mean it like that." You know what I mean? "I'm so glad that you're still here with us." You know what I mean? Then I ended up saying yes again. And I tell you, that was some sort of, because he got up. They brought him in, the ambulance brought him in for that party on a stretcher.
Wow.
And Teddy got up. He told the guys, "Get me up. I want to put my hands on the keyboard one more time."
Mm.
And I was afraid for them to. I said, "No, maybe you shouldn't have." He said, "No." He said, "If the Lord give me the strength, I want to get up one more time." And it was being videoed. So I have one of the last videos of Teddy Cry Cry Reynolds on keyboards, and he was playing "Nighttime Is the Right Time," and I was singing, and Trudy Lynn, Donna McIntyre, the Lady D, and there was one more. I'm trying to remember who it was. Faye Robinson came up to do the backup on that song.
Wow. Is this video up anywhere?
No, it's not up. I mean, I have a copy of the video, and
I would love to see that video. That sounds incredible.
Ed Papa Berry was the one who made the video.
Yeah.
And I didn't even realize other than sentimental to me, the significance of that until, you know, other people, Laura was saying, "You know, you have one of the last, you have the last video of Teddy playing keyboards." And it was like he wasn't even sick the way he sang. And wow, it was just, you know, we didn't want to stop, you know what I mean? Just like when I was traveling with the Muddy Waters Chicago, the Muddy Waters Chicago Legends, Pine Top, you know, when it was time for him to come to the stage, you know, we walk up, he escort me on his arm, get up there and get in place. He start playing. He didn't even seem to be in his 90s. You know what I mean?
Man.
He just, you know, we'd be doing it. We'd be doing it. But
what a crazy story. That's awesome. That is so awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. Well,
one time he was his air thing came off and he was still going. He didn't even know it. But that's what the music can do for you. You know what I mean?
Yes, ma'am.
Didn't realize, said, hey, Hubert, you left your, you know, because he only had one lung at that point. You left your air that. You left your air machine back there. This guy said to him, said, what? Okay. And I ran over there and grabbed it and then put it on him and everything like that. And he said, oh, I better sit down. He said, I'll start taking some deep breaths and stuff like that. But yeah, you know, we were, you know, walking off there laughing and talking and just, you know, I didn't even see him take it off because there would be times when he would try to move it out of the way and I would put it back, you know, so I'm put it back. But he did it and I didn't even see it. We were just going, you know.
Well, Diona, 2005 was a big year for you in the band. You traveled to Memphis to compete in the International Blues Challenge. Take us through that competition and how did you feel? Yeah. And did you think you had a chance to win that event? How did you feel about it?
We went to represent, okay, and to represent the Texas style. And we went with a new organization at the time out of Texas called Blue Shoe Organization. Mm-hmm. And because clubs and societies had asked us to represent them, but I said, I'm sorry, y'all, I won't represent unless you're from Texas. You know what I mean? And the others were not from Texas. And this Blue Shoe, I mean, they just got their paperwork in right in time. I mean, the week before.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Did you realize that?
No, I
they
didn't.
Got their, they got their paperwork stamped the week before, as you know, through the state and everything is the proper 501c3. And then they could get it in, turn it into the Blues Foundation and stuff like that. And so everything was a rush. And we said, well, we're just going to go up there and let it do what it do. You know what I mean? But getting ready to go up there, all of the rest of the band got sick except me. I had to drive. We were driving in a van. I drove the entire distance from Houston to Memphis.
Wow.
Having stops along the way, you know, to give them their medicine because I had it on timers. Give them their medicine, let them go to the men's room, you know, and they weren't eating much. I was trying to encourage them to just, you know, try to eat like we were getting those little, the soup in a can, open it up, put it in the thing and heat it at the truck stops.
Mm-hmm.
And so that helped quite a bit, but all of them were sick. That's why if you look at the photographs, they all had their jackets on stage because they were cold. That's because they had fever. They had fever. It was hot. You know what I mean? But that's why they all had their. That's why they all had their jackets on. And so I, you know, me, I was mainly just tired. Just tired, you know. And then it took so long for them to make the decision.
Tight competition?
At the competition.
Was it a tight competition that year?
Well, yes. But what happened was when they came out finally, they said that Joey Gilmore was the winner and we were second. And Lady Lady Sunshine from Detroit was third, okay? And then the European group, they put in the claim and showed that the people from Joey Gilmore's the management or something, that Joey said he didn't know about it or whatever, but they had broken the rules.
Oh,
and
no.
So they were disqualified.
Wow.
But the thing is, when they said his name is the winner, the crowd didn't, you go back and look at the video, the crowd wasn't happy. Only one state was happy, Florida, you know, because I think he was representing Florida. And everybody else was boo. And I said, oh boy, let me just get out of here, get y'all back to the hotel so everybody can get in their room, take their medicine, take a shower, go to bed. I was, you know. So, you know, we took it as that and graciously and said thank you. But when they had the emergency meetings and things like that, then they said, no, the rules were definitely broken. And the winner is Diuna Greenlee from Blue Mercy. Second is Lady Sunshine and her band from Detroit. And third is Teenie Tucker and her band from Ohio.
You all competed the same year. How cool is that?
Yes. And it was a three-woman win. And the thing is, we were like, wow, us ladies, we got on the phones together. Three black girls, and all three of our bands are totally different, because they were in different kind of music, you know what I mean? Because Lady Sunshine band is more on that kind of Denise LaSalle side of things, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. I'm familiar with her. Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yes. I love it. Love it. Boy, some of those lyrics and things she's come up with, she knocks me out. But anyway, and then of course Teenie Tucker third on that evening. So we were like, wow, fantastic. And we're gonna get a chance to tour together and stuff like that. Cause you know, they're taking a lot of the guys that had won, they're taking the foundation and taking them on tour, and they didn't do it for us.
Oh my goodness.
They did not do it. And also I want to make this clear, because a lot of people don't know, and I just didn't say anything at the time, you know, but there's no reason for it. The shame is not mine, but there were several of the festivals. Was, as a matter of fact, there were four festivals that were supposed to be part of the prize package, and they wouldn't let us come and perform because I won.
You know, I gotta tell you something. I am so thankful, because I work very closely with Michelle Seidman now. And I told Michelle, I dedicated time on my show. I said, I don't care if they're male or female. If they're blues musicians, I want them. And I proved myself to her. And she was one of the reasons that I got some names of a lot of women, you know, to bring them on the show. And I'm really thankful that she stepped up and she's been doing what she's doing with the National Women in Blues, and Lynn Orman over in Chicago with the Women in Blues over there, or Women of the Blues, coast to coast. Mm-hmm. Because it's, as far as I'm concerned, it's recognition that's overdue. You know?
Well, there were people in the industry who were not happy with me, because, and of course, ignorance is bliss. I didn't even realize it. Apparently, I wasn't supposed to be able to do what I'm doing at this level as an independent artist, okay? But nobody ever told me that before.
I was gonna say, you taught them, didn't you?
Nobody told me that, you know what I mean? Now, yeah, I mean, I've been in some ways being blackballed since 2005, okay? But you know, if you don't see me on your festivals, knowing that I'm a three-time Blues Music Award winner, knowing that year before last I won the French Academy Award and they presented it in Paris,
Wow.
knowing that I'm the person who got the bid and sang for Queen Elizabeth for the 150th anniversary celebration of the British Red Cross. And by the way, I wrote a song for Queen Elizabeth, and it's on my latest CD, the CD I Ain't Playing, because even though I had the song, I'd only sang it for her. I never recorded it until I did this thing with Little Village. Okay? And it's called Running Like the Red Cross. Now, I didn't say running like the British Red Cross. I just said running like the Red Cross. Okay. But I've never tried to take it to Red Cross America or anything like that. Perhaps I, should be doing that. I didn't have anybody to necessarily do that. But, those things, when you're not trying to slap and slash and scorch anybody else, I'm a firm believer that the universe will send these kind of things your way. Okay. So, as it happened, that's what was going on. But they didn't know some of the things I had done before that. I had been helping to bring entertainment to my historically black university while I was there and on that concert committee. And we had people like the Barcades, Confunction, Gladys
Okay.
Knight. We had Natalie Cole. We had the Ohio Players. We had Al Jarreau, Roy Ayers,
Man, look at you.
and a fresh young man by the name of Prince. Yes,
Oh,
baby. Yeah. And
wow. All right, all right.
that was the hardest one to get in, because one of the faculty who was on the committee kept saying, "Why is his mustache so thin? Do we have to have someone with a mustache that thin?"
But Dione, I have to ask
Have to do
you,
with anything.
I have to ask you, what was that like? Because he was obviously just getting going at that point,
Yes,
correct?
he
What
was
was that
very
like
nice.
having him there?
He was fantastic. He put on a clean and a fantastic show, and he
Wow.
put on a show that left you breathless. Breathless.
Man.
And just the range of his vocal range, and then to see him actually go around and play each of the instruments at will, okay? I mean, he had fun. When Al Jarreau came, when Roy Ayers came, they had fun. Do you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Golly, just
I'm having fun listening to the
Well, it
Wow.
was, but I had done those things, so I knew how to do contracts. I knew how to take care of addendums and all those type of things. But I wasn't ever intending to have to do it for myself or a group of my own. You know what I mean?
Right.
While I was president of the Blues Society, I produced a festival here in Houston. I said, Houston is too big not to have a blues festival in it. I'm sick of all these other little bitty cities having these big blues festivals and showing us up. So, I said, we're going to have the Willie Mae Big Mama Thornton Blues Festival. Do I have anybody who's willing to work with me? I had 12 people. 12 people, and three of them were in my band. Okay.
Wow.
And we did that. And I was so proud to have Coco Taylor, Bernard Allison, Mel Waiters, Texas Johnny Brown, Diane Price, gosh, ooh, IJ Ghost in the Supremes, and I know I'm forgetting people, but I can't. Oh well, hey, Gary Clark Jr. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Let's see. The my little Zydeco boys. Because I understand he started back again. Because he's retired now. Isn't that something?
Okay.
How, you know? But he went in and worked I want to say the Joy Boys. It'll come to me, but you know, there's so
yeah,
much.
Yeah, well, Diana, I want to step back just a half step here, because you did serve as president of the Houston Blues Society, an organization, by the way, that I'm very close to personally. I love those folks down there. I've had Kirky G on as a guest, and just a great bunch of people. But you hold the distinction of being the first female president for that organization, correct? Yeah?
Yes.
And you also initiated the now annual Houston Blues Society Founders Day. You are one of the founders of the Friends of Blues Montgomery County. I know that's a lot to unpack, but talk about your stint there. How did that go? How long were you there in that position?
3 years.
That's fantastic.
3 years. Because, you know, it takes 1 year to get in there and get, you know, kind of get things straightened out, get your feet wet, and try to put some things in motion. Because you can apply for grants or and things right now, but they don't come to fruition until you're the next year. You see what I mean? And things like that. So, yeah, I was there for a full 3 years, and they wanted me to stay another year to do yet another festival. But I'd already promised Blue Mercy that if they worked with me, hung with me on this and helped me with these things, that I would, you know, we would do our own touring. We would, you know, and I would accept some of the offers and things that I was getting personally. And I wanted to keep my promise to them. And, you know, and when we won that competition, John also won the Albert King Award for Best Guitarist.
Oh, wow.
That was
cool.
Another first. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we had to go back to Memphis because of the thing with the getting the equipment back and stuff like that to get that other part of the prize. But again, you know, I won't say what I think should have been done to those organizations who were part of the organization as a whole and refused to allow us a bid on their festival after they had committed to that for whoever the winner was. That may see things like that or wouldn't make people think that they shouldn't participate because there is probably rigged. If the person that they won't doesn't win and somebody else wins, then they don't want to comply
it certainly looks that way, doesn't it?
Exactly. And then because it was three women and three black women, you know what I mean? And Teeny said, and they can look at us and even choose they shade, because we all different shades of black.
I love her.
Yeah. So, you know, it was very disheartening. Now, I won't say kind of disheartening. It was very disheartening. And then they did tours. They never did tours. But, and I'm putting it out there and telling the world that they didn't do it, but we're still here.
Yep.
You know, they can still make it right. Okay.
And they should.
Because yes, we have performances that people would enjoy seeing. Okay. And when they're getting all three of us, they're getting the real deal. You're not getting any trash, baby. You know what I
Right on.
mean?
Right on.
Yeah. So, they don't need to play with us.
Well, Diona, you have graced the stages of some of the world's biggest blues festivals, despite that. Certainly, you've shared the stage with many of the biggest names in the blues. Are there any moments that stand out in your mind, particularly as special to you from that experience?
It was
I mean, I can imagine
all
Coco Taylor has got to be a
yes,
go-to.
I was just the first. I was gonna say it was always special. Coco called me up in Lucerne, Switzerland, and I was there actually vacationing. Well, when I
Oh
say
my
vacationing,
gosh.
I had gone to Austria because a man wanted me to come and have a meeting with him about doing an event at his quote unquote home, which when I got there, I found out it was a castle. And he wanted the blues band, but his fiance, new fiance, wanted something else. So they got this other band called Maroon 5,
Oh my
and he didn't
gosh.
get a chance to do it. Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah, but I
Good
thought I
band,
felt
but
like
still, you know.
I was like, well, we could open for him. We would I'd be willing to open for him, you know what I mean? But let's just say she was rock and he's blues, you know what I mean?
Yep.
But anyway, so he said, well, since you're here in Europe, is there any place you want to go? I said, Coco Taylor's at the gonna be at the Lucerne Blues Festival, which starts day after tomorrow. I said, and if I'm gonna make a stop, I wanna stop in Lucerne and I'll make my arrangements and stuff like that. But he was kind enough to have his people make arrangements and at a really nice place. I
Wow.
mean, the Schweizerhof is beautiful and everything like that. But I wanted to be a little quiet. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
And
yeah,
on
yeah.
the not that that place is not quiet, but in other words, not like I'm there expecting something from other people or stuff like that. And but I did go over to see about purchasing a ticket to the Schweizerhof, and that's when they said, "What, you're here and you're not staying with us?" And I explained to them that I had been there on an kind of like an interview and stopped back in, and so I wanted to come over and see about getting tickets. And said, "Absolutely not, you're our guest." You know what I mean? You might stay at that other hotel, but you're our guest for the festival. And Coco
How
called me
cool.
up on that one. And she also called me up in Nototen. Matter of fact, I haven't been back to Nototen since then.
Oh
I've
my
applied for
gosh.
10 years, but they have never hired me. So, c'est la vie. I'm not mad at anybody who wants to do whatever they want with their thing. But anyway, going on, that both of those were absolutely great moments. And another thing a lot of people didn't realize is that the person who was helping me with my school program, who came four times a year to Houston, was B.B. King. But he wanted it no press, no interviews, only the students, the instructors that he had chosen, and the parents, you know what I
How
mean?
cool.
And I would say that it was very inspirational for not only the students but myself, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And we had it at the local community center, and it was just, a thrill for everybody, you know what I mean?
They don't make
So,
them like that anymore, do they?
no, absolutely not.
Man.
BB had asked me to do a duet with him, this song, There Must Be a Better World Somewhere. And so I, of course, I was again thrilled, but we never got a chance to do it together. He got sick. And then there was less and less access to him. And I had both his number and Mr. Matthews' number. And Mr. Matthews would call me and let me know how I was doing. Then Mr. Matthews had a stroke and he died. And I got a call from BB telling me. And so from there, it was just continually, you know, going down.
Yeah.
And but I still did the song for a tribute album that the B.B. King Orchestra did.
Okay.
You know, with Boogaloo and the rest of the band. But
yeah.
They recorded it first, and then I said, this is not the key that B.B. and I were doing this song in. What, you know, and they go, no, but we knew that you could do it here. That's the key that they wanted us to do it. I said, who is they? This was the orchestra was telling me. You know, the management and some other people in charge. Okay, I can do it in that key. So I did it. And that song stayed on the chart at number one for several weeks. You can check that out. Okay.
No, I believe you. I believe you.
Mm-hmm. But it what it turns out is whoever was in charge, they actually wanted someone else to sing the song on tour, and they wanted it in a key that they could do it in, and that
I
still
see.
Didn't work out, you know what I mean? But that's
Man.
Just the universe talking back to them.
There you go. Well, Diona, one of the most important questions for this discussion, where can we send folks to pick up some CDs, some merchandise, book you for a gig, or maybe get you booked for a big event?
Well, you know, I do have a website, diuna.com.
Mm-hmm.
That's very easy. And if you go on there, there is actually also a number if you want to leave a message about booking me. We'd love to hear from you.
Sure.
We have just done the Carzola Festival in Spain. And if you go to the video of that, everything like that, you'll see it was a roaring success. And you can check it out yourself. But
sure.
We were named best band of the fest. You know what I mean? And I was going to go in and tell you who all was there, but I don't want to do that. Because most of those other bands are my friends. And I don't want them to think,
Well, Diona Greenleaf, it has been a pleasure to have you on today. Thank you so much for your time. I genuinely look forward to seeing you in or around Michigan. So please do me a favor and let's stay in touch, okay?
All right, then. And merch, what's that? I can't even think of the name of it. Through Little Village. You can buy CDs there. And I'm told I'm on Amazon and all that other stuff.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I think I did purchase a couple of the digital downloads of your albums through Amazon. So,
yeah. But I'd like for you to actually have a CD if you like. If not, see me in person and at a festival somewhere and let me sign one for you, because I want you to have the artwork. You know, people used to collect the artwork and stuff like that. And
can you see these sitting here behind me?
Uh-huh.
I have a spot on my wall for about 7 CDs, okay? And I rotate these, and right now I've got I've got Vanessa Collier up here, I got Tully Bray, and I've got Anika Chambers Delorier. So
okay.
I've got some of them. Of course, I got BB hanging up here behind me, but I will talk to you when we get done here and I will order a CD. I would love to have one signed and I would absolutely love to display the artwork. How's that sound?
It's been a pleasure speaking with you today.
Thank you.
And hopefully we'll see each other somewhere out on the festival road.
Indeed.
They used to have a blues festival in Saginaw, Michigan.
Yeah, I don't know about Saginaw. I know that we have we've got Port Sanilac up on the East Coast. We've got Kalamazoo. We have the Michigan Blues Fest.
I haven't been to Michigan in a long time.
Well, we need to get
And
you up here, girl.
it, well, that would be wonderful.
And that wraps up this edition of Time Signatures with Jim Irvin. I want to definitely thank Ms. Diana Greenleaf once again for being with us. But we also want to thank you, for without you, none of this would be possible. Jim Irvin reminding you, keeping the blues alive is everyone's responsibility, but preserving the history of the blues one story at a time, that's my mission. Until next time, so long, everybody.
This has been Time Signatures with Jim Irvin, presented by the Capital Area Blues Society in Lansing, Michigan. For more information on cabs, visit capitalareablues.org. You can find this episode and past episodes at lccconnect.org. The Time Signatures theme song, Michigan Roads, is used by permission and was written by Root Doctor, featuring Freddie Cunningham.
You know I'm crying, crying, baby, driving up in
Until next time, keep on keeping the blues alive.